Good morning. So from the last couple of weeks, we've been going through the Beatitudes of Jesus on the Sermon of the Mount. Today we'll be in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. This would be the third Beatitude expressed by Jesus. And so some of those characteristics of blessings are that of which Jesus spoke here in the Beatitudes. These aren't virtues, these are characteristics or qualities found in the Christian. If Jesus were to ask, because we've read these passages many, many times, for any of us who've been a Christian for a period of time, we've read these passages. We can quote maybe this chapter. But if Jesus was to be here in front of you today and asked you, are you meek? Our response would depend on how we understand its meaning, because we can read, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But to define what meekness is influences how we live our lives out and how we cultivate that in our lives, that quality. How do we live that out is how we're going to show Jesus if we're meek or not. The first beatitude, Jesus speaks of the poor in spirit. This is the attitude toward God, having the heart to recognize we need God. We need God. That poor-spirited person recognizes they need God. And that second beatitude of mourning. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn. These are the beatitudes. We're blessed if we mourn. Well, we recognize that this mourning comes from our recognizing what our sins and why we remember Jesus every first day of the week did to Him. It's our sins that nailed Jesus to the cross, each and every one of us. No one scathes life without being a mournful person, recognizing what their own individual lives do to Jesus. And so that person who mourns is blessed because Jesus comforts us when we recognize a godly sorrow and we come to Him humbly. And then now we have the beatitude of being meek. And I had Dave read Matthew 21 because specifically I believe the word meek in Greek is praos. Praos is the word. Praos, I guess, if you're a Greek scholar. And the word in the New Testament for Greek, for that particular word appears three times. One being, again, in Matthew 21, what we've read, when Jesus comes gentle and riding on a donkey. The word gentle that demonstrates a humility, a meekness of heart. And that's the example that Christ set in His ministry. Yes, He addressed people's sins. He said, you know, we have to be poor in spirit to come to the Father. We have to mourn over our sins. But this character of meekness goes beyond how we relate to God. But meekness carries the idea of how we respond in our relationships to one another and to other people outside of our fellowship. This is the attitude Jesus had, because Jesus didn't just love, He loved the church, but He loved the people that were outside of His kingdom. He wanted people to come to Him with a meek heart. An attitude of, I'm going to do this for the King. Because Jesus triumphed here in Matthew 21 as King, but yet He came so humble. And so a meek person is blessed because they are those who demonstrate a heart, an inward heart of gentleness that shows humble strength under God's control. They show that not as a boastful, arrogant, proud, dominating heart toward other people, but a humility as gentle as a dove. Jesus said to be as gentle as a dove, even when people aren't being gentle around you. Be as gentle as a dove and shrewd as a snake. So, meekness. Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Real quickly, earlier we read that, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. And yet now we're to inherit the earth. Which one is it, Jesus? I mean, at least when we start studying and reading the Bible, it can be a challenge. It's a metaphor that we ultimately would be meek now while we're living around people, that God sees this characteristic and blesses us ultimately to be with Him in heaven. So, commonly mentioned is to be meek isn't weak. It's an easy thing to think about. If there's nothing you think of today or remember, being a meek person can be scrutinized. Because today, in today's world, we don't like to talk about people being humble, meek, lowly. You know, but that's really what Jesus is getting to. But it isn't being a meek person. The ease in the presence of God. Ease, I mean, being peaceful with God. Being at peace with God of who you are. Ease of even other people. Being at ease with other people. A meek person doesn't have to retaliate when they've been spoken down to or criticized or mocked or ridiculed, both from the people outside the church. And I dare say that even within the church, we need to be those who are meek people toward one another. So to point one is to be meek is not weak. And it is a misconception that one who has this quality is weak or wimpy. You know, when we see a meek person, we don't think they shouldn't be wimpy. It's not about being a wimpy person. But Jesus, even in humility, He never retaliated in the power that He had to do so. So the word meek was used during the time, and this is the most commonly preached of the idea that in the day a powerful stallion, once it had been broken in by its trainer, it learned and had become controllable. You think of the massiveness of an animal that could come under the control over man. And that's really the attitude of having that meekness. Becoming even people that are rough around the edges, we'll say, that aren't Christians, when we teach them the gospel, the heart changes. We bring that spirit of ugliness, we'll say, to a spirit of following Jesus. And that changes who we are. That changes any man. Any person who comes to Jesus will change from the inside out. In a similar way, we deal with our sins and experience godly sorrow, which is what I preached on last week, which I spoke on, having a godly sorrow, not a worldly sorrow that says, I'm in sin. You get caught and you say, sorry I got caught, but then a couple days later, maybe if you last that long, you're back at it again. It's a continual. That's not where we want to be. We want to have that godly sorrow. My sin nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. And how we respond to that is either going to make the difference on how we live or not before God. And so we're no longer puffed up. We sing the song, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. That's a puffed up attitude. Remember those days when you didn't even give God the time of the day in your life? That's a puffed up And it's an attitude of, I'm going to do what I want. But when we submit to that and humble ourselves out, that we become meek before God and His Word, because we can receive correction and training. Where do we receive that? From God's Word. We sang the song that God didn't leave us without His Holy Spirit. His Spirit works through the Bible. We read His Word, and that's what He reveals to us. It's not outside. We can't find it in any other books. Men have their opinions. It's the Word of God. And so there's no greater strength than to understand these Beatitudes. Because there's several Beatitudes that if we can get this down right in our lives, not only we will save ourselves, but our hearers. The people around us will take note. Not that we're going to ever boast and brag about it, but we can always boast about Jesus, right? Jesus said, let he who boasts, boasts in the Lord and what He's done for them. In Romans 14, 19, collectively as a church, even here, Paul states, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace, there's the word peace, and mutual edification. Mutual edification. It isn't one-sided. The meek brother isn't a one-sided brother where he has all the answers and he's going to let everybody else know. The meek person knows the Word of God. He's humble before the throne of God each and every day. And he carries that message out in a loving way, in a peaceful way. And if somebody thinks differently, that's okay. Be at peace and struggle through the Word of God together. That's a meek person. The Pharisees didn't have that right. They didn't have that understanding. We do what Abraham says. We do what Moses says. And Jesus says, do what I say. But they never did come to Jesus in meekness, in humility. So the Bible teaches humility, gentleness, as well as meekness, are strong attributes. Those qualities that show God we want to learn from His Word and others in the faith. And so it's not a one-sided relationship. It's collectively. We build one another up. We edify each other up in God's Word. Hey, look at what I've been reading. Wow, this is amazing. And you discuss those things. It's not a one-sided, I tell you what to do from the pulpit, and good luck the rest of the week. There's that edification that goes on in God's church. Numbers 12:3, we think of meekness as Moses had. Moses, in Numbers 12:3, is said to be not only very meek over the whole earth, but over the whole earth. He's meek over the whole earth. He's the meekest guy in that time. Why? Because even though he was admonished or rebuked by Miriam and Aaron for doing what he shouldn't have done, or what he did, where he grabbed a Cushite woman to be his wife, and with their attitude of looking at his leadership saying, we could do a little better, God obviously punishes her for her attitude, thinking I could do a lot better than him. And she gets plagued with leprosy. But you know what's incredible about meekness? When we're sinned against and we're hurt, we can be meek and still go to God when the person that sins against us is not changing. Moses went to God, and right away, immediately, a little bit later, Miriam's leprosy passed because Moses prayed in meekness for her, even though he was sinned against. You know, and Jesus, he said to be meek. And 2 Corinthians 10:1, Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, I come to you in meekness and gentleness of Christ. He never came before God's people in a way as a know-it-all or someone that ever boasted except for what God had done for him in his life to expose and help other people. That's the one incredible attribute of being meek. It's not about me. Jesus flipped tables. Remember the story where we read that Jesus flips tables in the temple? Sometimes people say, well, Jesus is a crutch for you. Jesus is a crutch because you needed some type of religion in your life to make your life a little better. We need Jesus Christ that we can be right before God through Him so that we're not condemned for the sin that we're living in. That's why we need forgiveness. That's why we come to Jesus. Jesus wasn't a wimpy man. Jesus was a strong man who humbled himself to free us up. And then this ease in the presence of God. I say it in that sense. Years ago I read a book about being at peace with God from a brother. He wrote, you know, sometimes people live really scared if they're going to go to heaven or they are not. Even as faithful disciples of Jesus who have been baptized into Christ, if we're not living a godly life, there's something to be afraid of. But if we are striving to put on these blessed attitudes that Jesus has given us in Scripture, we can be at peace. You do the best you can before the throne of God. That's what He's asking. He says, we can have this strength under control. Jesus possessed all the power of the Son of God. And I know I alluded to this a little bit earlier. Yet to save us, He didn't use it to escape His suffering. We picture Jesus on the cross, right? He could have called. We sing the song. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. And then later on it says, but he died alone for you and me. That's a meek man. That's a meek person's heart with having that much power. But he was willing to subject himself, not to use it when he could have. Jesus chose to refrain his power to ease our hearts. Isn't there a peace when we come each and every Sunday to partake of the Lord's Supper and our little minds think of the wonder of Jesus dying on the cross? It brings peace to our hearts, doesn't it? When we remember Jesus and all He says is, take of me, there's peace there. All He asks us is to remember Him. Remember what I've done for each and every one. And take it seriously. And we are given promises by God. In Psalm 37, which alluded to this beatitude, that there's peace in the presence of God and of other people. Meekness draws upon faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who believes in us, we must believe that He exists. And that He rewards each and every one of us that way by having the faith to draw upon Him. A meek person doesn't lose his faith when he's going through a hardship or when somebody hurts them. A meek person trusts in God's guidance and plan for his and her lives, because we all have the same plan to aim toward going to heaven and pleasing God, but we all may have a course that's different in each other's lives. There's no real dogmatic way to say, you do this, you do that, you do that. Everybody that does the same thing in life is perfect or going there. But that's not the point. The point is each and every one of us have a plan and for God's purpose. And it may be different. Not the plan of salvation, but the plan of going to heaven. I hope I said that right. True strength comes from humility and obedience to God. And that's Jesus learned that. In Hebrews 5, in verse 8, it says that he learned submissiveness to the one who can save him. And he was heard out of his reverent submission. And that's the heart of a person that's meek. Particularly when he cried out with loud tears and cries from the cross. But God will work in all things for our good. Romans 8:28. It's a very popular, encouraging passage that we put out there for people to hear. But he does work in all things for our good. Even when things are difficult. In the presence of God, meekness allows us ease because we're safe. We're safe with God. There has to be an ease there. We can trust in God's wisdom where we find peacefulness, right? The Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And there's security in Christ. Jesus said, learn from me. That was one of the words where he says, I am gentle and humble in heart. In Matthew 11:29, and that word is praos, the same Greek word for being meek. He says, I'm meek, and you're able to come to me because I'm meek. Because if Jesus wasn't meek, it'd be very difficult to go to him and find our salvation in him. But this is David. He says in Psalm 131:2. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. The whole idea is like a baby. You think of an innocent little baby. He needs his mother, or she needs their mom. And moms, for the most part, I'm not saying this world isn't crooked and depraved and people are weird in that sense, they're ungodly with their children, but for the most part, the idea is safety. A mom is safe hands for their child. When you love your child, you do anything for that child. And that's a calmness we can have because God is our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. And He treats us like a mom with her baby. Do we deserve that? No. But that's what He does. That's what He does for children of God. That's what He says. And then there's the ease with oneself. Meekness allows for ease of oneself. Many times people aren't at ease with themselves. Their life is chaotic because they're so influenced by the things around them, they can't even grasp a meekness to God. That's why we need to draw to God, be with God every day. And the emphasis is prayer and a humility and a understanding who we are before God every day. A meek man knows who he is and whose he is. A comfort and security in the presence of God. Even Paul says, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to guard that which I have committed to him until against him to that day. He's referring to the judgment. But he knew that as he walked, he could be confident and understand his security was in God, and God was going to finish and help his life through to the finish line to be in heaven with him. And then in John 13:3, Jesus knew the authority he had. Right? We said earlier, he could have called 10,000 angels and destroyed the earth and just got it done once and for all. But He knew we needed Him, and because of Him and His ability to have authority, instead of doing that, He knew where He came from to set us free, and He would set us captives free to be with Him and go to heaven. When we've drawn to God by changing for Him, because a meek person has to change before God, before he can help anybody else out, and know what He has promised to those who love Him. I don't know if we always think about this. I will say, this week I pray and ask you to think about, how much do you love me, God? Ask God the question this week. How much do you really love me? We can relax and be at peace when we know God loves His children. And I'm not saying this to be watered down and make us feel special, but we need to know God loves us. And when we know God loves us, we can be meek. We can have that gentleness, but have the strength under control that when we need to use it and preaching the Word or teaching people the truth, we could admonish and correct and rebuke people for those things that they don't do right. And then this is a big key to being meek, our ease with other people. The ease of others. A meek person won't feel inferior, insecure. When you're meek before God, you're not going to feel inferior or superior in the presence of other people. Oh, here comes a macho man. Oh boy, we better get out of his way. That's not a meek man. But it's also not a meek person if they're weak and wimpy and they feel, no, nobody loves me. I'm just saying it that way because that happens. There's those extremes that come through us. He makes himself or herself willing to associate with anyone who may be nearby. Why? Why does a meek person, according to Jesus' blessings he gives to that meek person? Because, like Jesus, we want people to be saved. And as we want people saved, we can teach them to learn to be meek before God. That's why it's important to be meek. Because if we're not meek, we're not going to help another person become meek to be blessed by God on this earth or for eternity. Being at ease with God and ourselves allows for us not to have anything to prove or fear. You ever been around a people pleaser? We need to be God pleasers. We need to please God first and help each other not to be people pleasers. A weak, meek person has lost his sinful self-focus. I've shared this before, and I say this respectfully. It's no longer about me, and it's no longer about you. We come here to bring God glory, laying our lives down, carrying the cross to help the next person that doesn't have the truth. That's the will of Jesus. That's the will of God. It's always been part of God's plan that He would use His people to help other people, to be meek to people, to love people, and to tell people the truth. Am I meek? I mean, I wrote this down for myself. Meekness is a character quality. It's not external. I mean, people can appear meek all they want, but it's from the heart. We cannot do meekness. How are you doing being meek, doing meekness? It's something a godly person is. It's a character trait that we develop when we draw to God and follow the meekness of Jesus and the examples laid out of other men in the Bible. Do a study on it. In Galatians 5:22, meekness is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's controversial of what the Holy Spirit is and does. He's tied to God. And He produces the quality in us. It's all from God. It's all from God. But we have to surrender. Why would we pray to God to be someone we're not? We pray to God to be who God wants us to be. So I encourage you to pray for meekness this week. And sometimes when we pray for specific qualities in our lives to make changes, it's a challenge. And we buck against ourselves. Sometimes we're fighting God to do what God really wants of us. But we need to. We need to always be willing to change, learn, and grow. No matter how long we've been in the faith. And there's no shortcut to being meek, is there? There's no shortcut. We weren't born meek. Maybe a little baby, right? A little baby wants his mommy. Poverty of spirit and godly sorrow, that mourning, has to come first. A real, true humility of repentance brings changes in our lives to be meek. And for the invitation, meekness is shown ultimately by both respect and faith in Jesus. Because salvation is found in no one else. There's no other person. We have to go about with what Jesus said, because Jesus said that His word would be the judge. And if we hold to His teaching, He says, at least to the Jews who believed in Him, and that we're included as Gentiles, if you hold to My teaching, you're really My disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. People love to be set free. We need to be set free. It's a good thing. But we got to hold to Jesus' teaching. Pray. I know I preached on prayer a month or so ago. How serious do we take bowing to God in prayer? How serious do we bow to God and ask God to bring about the changes in our lives that will help us draw closer and mature and be able to show meekness to one another? You know, I made the statement that very few people in the world, even us looking at this, wow, Lord, I'm far from meek many days in my life. But we can get there. While we're alive, we can do this. Ask God to show how to be at ease with Him. Sometimes we wrestle with God. We fight with God sometimes in the way we live our life. In ourselves, that's... You never want to... We all have struggles within. We can be at ease when we go to God. And then other people. Other people. We'll get further along in the Beatitudes and understanding how important meekness is toward how we view each other. To forgive. How earnestly will you seek this quality that Jesus said leads to an eternal life? This is a quality we have to seek out in our lives. Because Jesus was meek. He preached it. He lived it. And He says, come follow Me. So if there's anyone here that wants to be closer to follow Jesus, please come forward as we sing the invitation.